Hello and welcome to another episode of Cathode Ray Emission. I am Will Scoville in Berkeley, California. With me, as always, via satellite in Oklahoma City, is Randy Heyer. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Will. How's it going?
I'm all right, man. It's been a week, you know. All the things that we've been talking about happened, you know, and they definitely happened within the last week between when we recorded our last episode and when we recorded this episode.
It is way less, not that it can't be this way again, but it is way less like some horrible thing happened every 2 days. It feels that way, but like,
well, last year
we don't know as much about, like, you know,
yeah.
But
last year it was like so much happened and we got really ahead. We were like 6 weeks ahead at one point last year. And the amount of things that happened week to week. So we would be like, you know, on an episode, who knows if the thing will happen. And then it's like,
Trump will probably be elected again. Like, wasn't it the Gemini Man one where we're really worried about the election? It came out like in January or something like that.
But then also you had the thing at the Capitol. I think it came out between the actual election happening, like Joe Biden being like, okay, well, Joe Biden won. And then that shit at the fucking Capitol happened after that. I can't remember. But, you know, stuff was still happening. But now it's slowed way down.
Well,
awful shit still happens, but not as at such a clip, it seems.
Yeah. And we're not here to talk about current events. We're here to talk about things that will stand forever. Like, I don't know. Damn it, I had a better way of saying this, but things that are immortal, eternal.
Yeah. Okay. So to introduce our movie, we got a guest on. It's his first time. He's a friend of ours. It's his first time on.
He's an old friend of mine. He's been wanting to do this for a long time, this movie. So we're having him on.
So
go ahead.
Let's introduce Lucas Dunn. Hey, Lucas, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just woke up from a nap and I'm a little foggy. But I am excited to talk about, can I curse on this show?
Yes.
No. Oh, okay. Well, okay.
What?
Well, I play this for my church youth group. So it's
I mean, what kids are going to be listening to a show about motherfucking Roadhouse? The greatest, it's probably my favorite movie of all time. Unironically, I love Roadhouse. So my history with Roadhouse, the first time that I ever heard about it, it was actually Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode where Crow T. Robot, he would constantly talk about how Roadhouse was his favorite movie. And there was the song Patrick Swayze Christmas, where he sung about, you know, how Patrick Swayze would beat your ass at Roadhouse. And so that like built a curiosity. Mm. And so I didn't see it until like later on. And I think like the first time that I saw Roadhouse, I thought it was like kind of goofy. I mean, it is a goofy movie, not the goofy movie, but you know what I mean? But then, you know, it's like always on cable and I just kept watching it over and over again. And it's like anytime it was on TV, I'd watch it and I just built this appreciation for it, for just like how strange it is.
Yes.
And fun and action-packed, and Swayze's badass in it. And there's just like so much to unpack in this movie. You know, it's like opening up a walnut.
No, you're right about that, man. It's like, it's super bizarre. I remember just seeing the box at Hastings and being like, what the fuck is Roadhouse? Like, he's
the
leaning
neon
up,
logo.
Yeah, and he's like leaning up against something. It's just like, what even is this movie? Yeah. And you wouldn't think that there'd be like graphic violence in it because it doesn't happen to like the end of the movie, but there's like extremely graphic violence.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get, We should hold off on that because that's a whole.
How'd you hear about Roadhouse, Will? Is this a movie?
I remember when it came out, like, you know, really? 89, I was 8 years old. Patrick Swayze was already like a thing, like a star at that point. He had done Dirty Dancing and
Red Dawn.
Ghost came out after this, I think.
Yeah.
But Dirty Dancing was the one I knew him mostly from. I think he had done SNL at this time too.
Mm.
And so like I knew about this movie when it came out, and I didn't see it until much later as well. I think I saw it in a theater for the first time after California. So that was like the first setting I got to see it in, and it was great. It was with a packed house. Perfect place to see this movie.
I've never seen this in theaters, but I tell you, I did grow appreciation by watching this at our camping trips with like just all of the dudes and stuff. Like,
Watching it with an audience is great. Yeah, really great one to watch with an audience. It really gives it a different kind of dynamic to something that's already good. It kind of elevates it to a new level. It's really great.
Because there's just like so much. I mean, again, we're going to talk about this, but there's just like so much that happens in the film where you're just like, you can do a lot of like banter, not even necessarily making fun of the movie, like, but just like, holy shit moments.
Yes. Yeah, totally. And it walks like a crazy tightrope of all these things, like, and we just talked about a different movie, Lucas, and this is a peek behind the curtain for our listeners. We just talked about Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which had some bands that are real, but you've never heard of them. And this also has a band that is real that I had never heard of before the movie that rocks, that I love.
Are we talking about Jeff Healey Band?
Yeah. There's like,
it was actually like, I think, popular at the time. Like, was it? I think he was, I mean, like in the blues circuit, like he was a guy.
Yeah. He's a blind man. He's probably 28, maybe at the most. He's pretty young, it seems like, but he's playing electric guitar, like on his lap, like a slide. And I don't know. He's like central to the movie.
Yeah.
He shows up a lot. One of many things about this.
There's a lot of dialogue in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to give in maybe like 60 seconds, like the most brief description of the plot. And okay. I'm going to be missing out on a lot of things, but like, I'm going to try to just go as quick as possible to run down like what happens in this movie. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So you start with this guy named Dalton, who is a famous cooler, which is a different type of bouncer, which I've worked in the bar industry for many years, and I've never heard of cooler before, or I've never heard of famous bouncers. And this guy from Joplin, Missouri, comes to snipe him from the bar that he's working at in New York City to go work at the Double Deuce, which is his hectic, chaotic, dangerous bar. And in the meanwhile, he ends up just like running the bar. And like, it's basically just his bar at that point, the director of operations.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a bouncer that just runs a bar. And along the way, he has to like, there's like basically training montages with the staff, and he meets a nurse that he fucks against the wall of a barnhouse, and then ends up getting into a feud with Ben Gazzara, who is this just like huge criminal guy that runs the entire town somehow, like, owns the police.
And he's doing the Lord's work in this movie.
Oh yeah, he's great. the car scene we have to talk about.
Yeah, when he's driving around to that song. Yeah.
And so then he ends up getting into fights with just like everybody. And he rips a guy's throat out after he's told, I've fucked guys like you in prison.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty much the movie, right?
Yeah.
We don't hear.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a crazy, it's just, it's one of those movies that, like, I don't know, who knows what crazy circumstance led us to having this movie be what it is, but just, like, it's so perfect of, like, the idea of, like, an all-time badass who comes in and basically for the first act of the movie, you see what an amazing badass he is, and then you bring in this, like, ridiculous character that is going to go get, like, and basically Ben Gazzara's character, like, Patrick Swayze wouldn't have fucked with him. He could have just, like, they could have coexisted, but Ben Gazzara just, like, has to be the alpha against, like, he just is obsessed with Patrick Swayze for some reason. That, it's just, like, I don't know, but, like, this movie is just, like, I don't know why it works, but it totally works, and, like, to have, then the, it just has all these, like, these things that, like, you want movies to have happen, and then, like, the mentor shows up, and he's a badass, you know, you get to see
Dalton. Yeah, Sam Elliott.
Yeah, you get to see Dalton be a total badass. You have scenes where you see how bad is Ben Gazzara, and you see him be dishonorable towards his own men, be, you know, he's just, like, a piece of shit. I don't know. It's a true quadrant movie that will satisfy everyone, probably, in my opinion. Yeah, I don't,
like,
know.
Why is he so upset that, like, a bouncer came to town?
I don't know. Because he fires his nephew, which is John Doe.
Yeah.
Right?
That's, yeah.
Like, that's the beginning of it. And it's like, all right. Which is kind of what happens at Casino, too. But
I mean, he fires him, and then Ben Gazzara is like, I'm not going to supply you liquor if you don't hire him back. And then they're like, well, we're just going to get liquor from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he was, like, skimming from the till, so.
So, yeah.
It's a crazy movie.
I would say it's got good bones.
Yes.
That's a good way to describe this one. Like, it's pretty solid, and then everything else, it can be goofy and it can be weird. But hey, man, still holds up, you know, overall.
There's like the scene where Dalton, he shows up to the bar. And so the first time he's at the Double Deuce. One, everybody just, like, knows who he is for some reason. Like,
which rules. That's that's, like, the first thing they did right about this movie is that he's legendary and everybody know, like, he's a legend to everybody. And everybody respects him as a cooler. And everybody knows what a cooler is.
Yeah. I thought you'd be taller.
Always. Yeah, that's what everybody
that's
says.
That's the thing. Shout out to our short kings. Even though Swayze was, in fact, 5'11", so just under 6 feet.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I just figured he was, like, a really small guy or something.
So I think they made him smaller for the movie. I think he's supposed to be more like 5'8" in this movie. So
interesting.
Yeah, but the thing I like about him is it's like he's a decent boss. He's like, be nice at work and know that it's just a job. Don't take anything personally. This isn't your life. This is just a job.
Yeah.
That's what I was actually about to bring up, that, like, that scene. So, like, he shows up and, like, the first night on his job, he's drinking coffee, even though they offer him liquor, I think, but he's just drinking coffee and he's just watching. And it's, this place is just full of animals. It's just like everybody is just like wrecking each other and getting on the tables and just like fighting and being horrible and fucking on the job. And like
the only bar I can think of that's worse in a movie is the one in No Holds Barred. Is like grosser and rowdier than this one.
Yeah.
But this is pretty much the best bar in a movie ever. Yeah.
So, like, the next day, Dalton shows up and they're having, like, a staff meeting. And that's when he's, like, going through and firing people and, like, but, yeah, he gives that lecture, which is actually, it's, like, a piece of advice that I've, because he's a philosopher. And so the piece of advice, be nice until it's time to not be nice. Like, that's just such a beautiful statement to me. And that's like kind of become my mantra.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, like, working in a professional capacity with all sorts of weirdos who make a lot of money, you'd be surprised at just, like, pretending to, like, be nice to them goes. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, man. And it's just like, you know, be nice so you can just get off the phone with them faster. A lot of times it's like, but then there are times when I have to yell at them for being pieces of shit and, like, doing things wrong and doing things that I told them not to do and trying to blame it on us. So it kind of hits a little bit harder. Mm. At least for me, when I'm like, you know, when I do, like, actually get up, it's kind of like your dentist when he yells at you.
Yeah. And it's like, you get further, like, being polite, but then, you know, again, there's times where you have to not be nice and just, you got to throw somebody out sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to rip somebody's throat out, you know?
Yep.
As we learn later. This movie is written by the guy who wrote Out for Justice. Now, that movie has a famous pool hall scene where Seagal kicks, like, five guys' asses hardcore. I wonder if they were like, you know what? The whole movie should have just been this scene. And that's what this movie is?
Yeah.
Cause, like, I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking? Have you guys seen?
Did that come out before this movie?
I think it did. I think it must have. Or, like, it's very possible that both these movies were written at the same time.
Yeah.
One or the other. Like, but I don't know. I just, when I found that out, I was like, wow. Out for Justice is the other movie that has a bar scene where it's just like an amazing fight scene. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is that the one with the pool cubes?
Yeah.
He
gets a rag and he puts fucking, like, balls in it and he's like hitting people in the face.
Yeah, that scene.
Spitting their teeth out and shit. Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway, same writer.
And this movie is also directed by a guy named Rowdy Herring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which sounds like the name of one of the, like, guys that would be in the bar in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's produced by Joel Silver.
Yeah. I don't know much about Rowdy Harrington, but he made another great movie called Jack's Back. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. And he made Striking Distance, which is not
striking. I was about to mention Striking Distance.
And then A Murder.
I want to do that one too.
Have you really? We could do that.
It's a weird Bruce Willis movie.
It is. Like, he also did A Murder of Crows, which is a very weird, bad Cuba Gooding Jr. Tom Berenger joint that I would totally be down to do, actually. It has an insane sex scene in it.
So I wanted Jack Moore back into the plot of this movie, because we still have a lot to unwind.
What part of the plot do you want? It's sort of like, yeah, it's like, which part do you mean?
Okay, so, like, after he shows up in town, he has two separate cars.
Yeah,
he has his nice car that he has, like, a drop cloth over, and then he buys, like, a used car, and then he puts a bunch of tires in the trunk.
I love that. Because he knows
that, like, people are going to slash his tires.
Yeah. That's
which
awesome.
Happens, like, immediately. His tires get slashed, but he knows what he's doing. And he just, like, he's very, Dalton is very graceful. Like, I mean, everybody that he shows up to is just, like, calls them sir. And, you know, like, he goes to, like, the auto shop, or
he's kind of doing a Tom Cruise character in the, it's like, yeah. Cruise couldn't do this, but it's like sort of like what Cruise does, where the character is the best at everything he does. Everyone knows.
Okay.
Him. You know,
when I was a kid, I thought there was a connection between this movie and Cocktail because of mostly just the neon sign, one that said Roadhouse and one that said Cocktail on each of the posters for those movies.
I'm glad that you brought this up because I think I have a theory that they both exist in the same cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Could happen simultaneously. Yeah. The same bar. That'd be awesome, dude. Fuck. That would have been cool.
So, like, what other movie would take place in that cinematic universe?
Well, I was just thinking, yeah, it was like maybe you have like Carlito's Way happening, you know, in the club or something.
What about Coyote Ugly?
Oh, shit. Well, okay, I wanted to bring up this. This is a movie, like we were talking about, where he's a cooler and everybody knows what that is. And everybody, bouncers are like legendary people and stuff. Like, there's like movies like this. We were in the last episode or two episodes ago talking about Cobra Kai. And that's a movie where like karate is like weirdly the most important thing in town, you know, and stuff like that. So like, yeah, Coyote Ugly. Do you guys have any like favorite other movies besides Road? I think this is maybe my favorite movie that elevates a profession weirdly, you know, or a hobby or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, the like kind of like, oh, it's a movie about a job.
Yeah, a movie about a job or karate or something like that, you know, where it's like, or like, what's that movie, Airborne, where it's like everybody here inline skates, you know, it's like, all right.
Yeah. Over the Top is one.
Over the okay, yeah, perfect. Yep. I think that's,
yeah.
And Over the Top is a kind of recommended if you like this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, we could do a whole other episode about that, but it's a movie about a guy who's a trucker who's trying to like win the love and affection of his estranged child through arm wrestling. And the end goal is that he wins a fucking semi truck.
I love Over the Top so much. You know, I just love movies like this where it's like, because I was thinking about this today when I was watching it. It's like, man, God bless a movie like this, because most movies are just about cops and they present cops as if they're the most badass people on earth that know everything. It's like, yeah. This movie rules that it elevates a guy like a bouncer is like the most genius person that exists, you know, and shit. It's awesome.
And he has like a mentor as well. Mm-hmm. Like the Sam Elliott character.
Dude, the cast is so unstoppable in this movie. Sam Elliott is so good in this movie.
Yeah, he just kind of like shows up like halfway through the movie and you're just like, great. This movie just got even better than it was already.
Yeah, he shows
Wade Garrett
like pretty early. Yeah, Wade Garrett is fucking awesome. What a voice on this guy. And so one writer on this wrote Out for Justice and the other writer wrote Fatal Beauty, which he is in. And we covered on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does have some of those vibes of Fatal Beauty. I need to go back and watch that again. That was the first time watching it for this show. I need to go back and watch
it. Yeah, I'd never seen it either. Have you seen that, Lucas? That Whoopi Goldberg movie? It's on Prime. It's pretty good. Yeah. But anyway, Sam Elliott, it's like from the same time period as this. He looks like the same. And I guess it's the same writer, so yeah.
Sam Elliott's a dude that I feel like he just came out of the womb looking like that.
Yeah,
because like you see him now and he's almost the same. His hair is a little bit more gray, but more or less he's the same dude he was like 30 plus years ago.
I was wanting to watch Mask, speaking of him, and that movie, you can't find it right now. It's like,
really?
I don't know, it's just not on Prime. You can't buy it or rent it or anything. It's like, okay,
Smoking.
Yeah, not the mask, but
son of the mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Kelly Lynch is great in this.
Yeah.
As like the doctor.
I love the woman who likes Dalton, but he views her more as like a kid sister type or something.
Yeah. Wasn't like, she in Field of Dreams or something? Mm. Or is it, she just look like someone who was in Field of
Dreams? I don't know. The
one, I'm not sure. The one she was like basically like one of the, movie. She was like the waitress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, there's just like the quintessential scene from this, in my opinion, is when he gets out of bed and the camera just like focuses on his butt for a second before he gets in, puts his pants on, and she's all like extremely hot and bothered by it, you know? She And like he lights up a cigarette immediately when he wakes up and shit too, which he did die of cancer, right?
I mean, he did die of cancer, yeah.
Crazy. Different time.
Yep.
Different time.
Fucking he wanted to jump his bones.
Fucking, I'm looking at Rowdy Harrington's Wikipedia right now. He was a grip and a gaffer. He was a grip on Repo Man. Then he was best boy Electric on Nightmare in Elm Street. Before being a gaffer on a few movies. And then he made Jack's Back, Roadhouse, a fighting movie called Gladiator with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Brian Dennehy. Yeah. Fuck, we should do that one too. Striking Distance. Interesting. Interesting guy, but this is clearly his masterpiece. Did you ever read that thing in Lucky Peach that Bourdain wrote about this movie, Lucas?
Yes, but I don't remember it. I have a copy of it, but I haven't read it in a long time.
I wanted to read it before this. I just kind of ran out of time. But yeah, I remember thinking that was pretty interesting article about, I mean, this movie, it's super goofy, but people love it, you know? And it's one of those movies that like Coyote Ugly and even Voyage of the Rock Aliens or something, like movies, there's like plenty of movies that are weird or about esoteric things that make them weird. There's like, or whatever, but there's just something about this movie that makes it like rise to the top with like all the casting and just, I mean, maybe that's just like the key to making a good movie is like you come up with a character who is basically infallible, put them in a situation and like just watch them go. I mean,
well, just like make shit fun, you know, like Fast and Furious and things like that, you know. It's like let's get wild. It's a movie, you know. I'm just looking for an escape sometimes.
That's true, but this movie, I just feel like nowadays you would never do that. Like the movie would make the mistake of calling it Dalton or something like that, you know. But like this movie is kind of a character drama where we just learn about Dalton and these other people, but it's like, it's super like redneck and crazy. And I don't know. There's just something about this movie that it's so one of a kind. It's just
speaking of Dalton, I have a personal aside. Please. I dated this really cute girl one time and she told me, it was very brief. We only dated for like a month. We never even like fucked or anything. But apparently like her dad, they're from like Shawnee or something. And her dad was like hoping that she would be a boy. And if she was a boy, she would have been named Dalton after the Roadhouse character.
Jeez.
Yeah, it does have a certain, like, I don't know, it does have a certain, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It does have a certain respect within, like, the redneck community. Like, if you talk to a redneck about this movie, they're going to be like, yeah, Roadhouse is, like, one of the best movies ever made. And I'm like, yeah, it is. I can't disagree with that. But I did want to mention some things that are weird about this and how this all revolves around Dalton. The fact that he's living in this barn house that is very nice.
Oh, the main amazing apartment that he pays nothing for. Go on.
And then the main antagonist lives directly across a stream. Yes, from. Yeah. He can see
there's this like dude's a pond. House. Yeah. And then, yeah.
And he's like out there doing Tai Chi and shit in the morning. And Ben Gazzara is just like seething with anger, like watching him and stuff.
Yeah.
And like throwing parties and like.
Yeah. Brad Wesley is what his name is. Yeah. God. Yeah. Ben Gazzara is almost, so good.
It's almost like Wesley is taunting Dalton with the parties. Like he's throwing them just to be like, fuck you.
I like to pretend this is he's Jackie Treehorn and this is a Big Lebowski spinoff movie.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a Jackie Treehorn situation. So let's dig into Wesley Ben Gazzara's character because that he has some wild moments. Like he blows up a hardware store out of spite.
Yep.
Yes.
There's the scene where he's like driving a red like Corvette or something, like a convertible sports car, and just being like just irresponsibly driving, like swerving around the road just to be a jackass. And then the big one. You know what I'm going for here. It's the car dealership.
Oh, yeah. And it's Bigfoot. That's Bigfoot.
It is a real Bigfoot monster truck.
Yeah. Bigfoot number 7.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fucking so cool though, right? I mean, that's like redneck glory that like Bigfoot.
I know. Like Bigfoot was like huge at that time. Like I think they had a Bigfoot truck in a Police Academy movie too. Mm-hmm. Like it was just all over the place. You had to have a big monster truck.
God, this movie is so, but it's rated R. That's what's crazy. Yeah. It's like, it's not for kids. It's for like adults, but it's like, I don't know. It's just a movie. It's a miracle. It's a miracle movie. You couldn't
I don't know, make maybe PG-13 if it came out now.
Probably. Yeah. They could probably, I don't know.
They would ruin it. No, but there's nudity and they curse and stuff. I mean,
you can curse in PG-13, but it's
you can't say fuck twice.
You can't say it twice, and it can't be in referring to sex.
But like the thing about it, I love that it is like light. It's like a light R, but it's still R, you know. And it's like I think the sleaziness of it is being discounted a little bit. Like it's a pretty, pretty like sleazy ass movie, you know? And like, if you lost that, that's a big part of what I love about it personally.
Right.
I mean, it takes place in like a disgusting bar. Like that's like most of the set.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess, yeah, inherently the story, there's like no way it should be for kids, you know? Cause like, it's about a bar, you know? So like, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
One thing I do like about this is that Ben Gazzara like burns down that hardware shop and then he also, they're like, we can't prove that he did anything. We can't go after him. And then he very clearly orders the destruction of a car showroom with a monster truck.
Because he owns the cops.
Go after him now. Yeah, I guess so. But it's just
that's like, his whole thing. He's like, I own the cops. Yeah. I own this town. Nobody can stop me. But it's like, where is his income coming from? Like, what is he actually like doing other than just like
supply crime? I don't know.
But like it never shows him like selling drugs or anything like that. He's just like, I do crime and I own the town.
That whole thing is just to like set up the like the logic of like if nobody sees it, you can't convict them, you know? So at the end, when they all murder him, they can just be like, I don't know what happened and it's okay. Yeah. And that's like the end.
And there's also that whole thing with like his wife. And he has like this like hot wife who's like constantly doing aerobics in front of the TV.
Yeah, she likes to have sex with Dalton for sure.
Yeah.
And like
she like openly despises her husband, but it's just one of those tropes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those movies. I don't know, like when it comes to recommendation time, I don't know if I know of a movie that operates at this level of just like everything being in its right place like this. This is, it's just a really crazy movie. But
like we're not even done with it yet. We've still got.
Yeah, I mean we are and we aren't, you know. It's like what more do you want to talk about in this movie? It's like it's so full of stuff happening.
I mean, there's a scene where Sam Elliott is found dead laying on a bar with a knife in his stomach or his chest or whatever. Like, yeah. That's a thing that happens.
It is.
I like that part because it's like, you know, they leave the knife in the body as a message and it's like clear whose knife that is. And so Swayze uses that knife to lock down the gas pedal on a car that goes flying into Ben Gazzara's front yard. And then one of the guys like pulls the knife out of it and he puts it into an empty sheath that's on his belt. So it's clearly his knife and he's just been wearing this empty sheath. He never expected to get it back, did he? Like, but he's just wearing the empty sheath around his belt anyway. And I'm like, all right, well, now you got it back, dude. Cool.
And then he goes into the house and it's like a difference. It's like Mark for Death, the end of a different Seagal movie. He just like Jason basically murders everybody in the house. It's like, damn, it's a crazy, this is a really just, I'm sitting here thinking about like, cause the end is like, we're all
before we get into the end, we got to talk about the fighter guy.
He just kind of just shows like once you watch the movie enough times, you're like, oh, I guess he's standing in with them this whole time. Like, but he just kind of emerges at the end. Yeah. It's like,
and he's just like, I'm gonna fucking kick your ass.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah.
Fucking like, all right. And yeah, the whole movie.
And they fight a few times, and then there's the showdown at the pond between Swayze's farmhouse apartment and Wesley's place. And that's when, yeah, he says, I used to fuck guys like you in prison. And then Swayze rips his throat out. And like throws it into the bomb.
100% did not have to do that.
Yeah.
He could have crushed his windpipe non-fatally. Like, there's like lots of things. If he's a karate master, he 100% did not have to do like the most hardcore violent thing. Like,
when his girlfriend was like watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like,
yeah,
not down with it. It's just like, why did you just murder this man?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's almost like it's like Drive or something where like he
turns that corner at one
there's
point.
There's some corner and like it's like, yeah. Oh, I'm also like a killing machine and now that it's turned on I can't stop. It's like, oh,
well, he was nice until he couldn't be nice anymore. So
yeah.
It's like
that's true. I don't think he had to kill I think that's maybe it's not a flaw of them. It puts it over the top. It's one of those things where it's like that should make it bad, but it doesn't. It makes it better that all of a sudden his character is just ripping throats out and breaking necks and like all sorts of shit. And then the town just like basically at the end, Brad Wesley is defeated, but then the town just like comes into the room and blows him away. Like, and it's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the ending of the film is Dalton breaking into the mansion of the bad guy and trying to kick his ass.
Yeah.
And then everybody in the town is mad at him because he's been trying to, like, you know, take over their businesses and take over the town. They roll up with rifles. and they just gun him down.
And this is where the great line, the final line of the movie, or damn near the final line, where basically what we set up earlier, it's like, well, I'd love to convict Brad Wesley, but I just didn't see it happen, so I can't prove that he did this. The cops come, and they're like, who killed Brad Wesley? And they're like, I didn't see anybody. And then only one guy from his crew, fucking Patrick Swayze, did not murder, stuck under this taxidermied bear. The movie becomes like an Ernest movie. That guy is like from an Ernest movie where he's running in place trying to get away from this thing that's like slowly falling on him.
And he's just like a big, fat redneck dude.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I feel like he's in Son-in-Law. Is he not one of the guys, like the farmers and Son-in-Law or something? But yeah, they look over at him and he's like, bear fell on me. And it's just like the end, like almost
roll like credits.
Literally, it's like credits.
I think that's the last line in the movie. I think it's just bear fell on me and then credits roll.
It's a fucking, it's a masterpiece. I don't know. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Often discussed, but worthy of discussion, I would say.
I have one last scene to touch on, which is a very tender one, where Dalton and Garrett and I can't remember the name of the doctor, but they're at, I think they'd been up all night. And it's like one of the few times that you actually see Dalton drinking, but it's like kind of like a after hours diner sort of place. Mm. And Garrett dances with Dalton's girlfriend. I don't know. It was a sweet moment.
Yeah. That's all the whole segment when Sam Elliott shows up. It's like, kind of puts the movie into a new space for a while.
It does, yeah. I mean, that's sort of like the movie, it never lags. Like, right when it gets to a different point, like Sam Elliott shows up and the movie takes on sort of a different flavor for a second. Or then, Swayze's pushed too far and he's suddenly graphically murdering people and stuff like that. Or my favorite's the beginning where he shows up and it's just like, he's the best. It's like, this is a movie that...
Like when he has like his arms crossed, just...
Yeah. When he's just watching things. And then like, it's just, he just can't, he's the best. He's the smartest in the room, et cetera. Like, this is a movie that I think Seagal could like, he could maybe sort of do, but he could never like pull it off, you know, because like, he just doesn't have the acting chops, the humility of Swayze, like... But it's a very almost Seagal-like character that Swayze's playing in this. And I love Roadhouse is good. What do you say?
Swayze is like so subtle in it, you know, where he's just like calm and subdued, which Seagal could kind of do, but like in a more macho way.
Yes.
Whereas like Dalton.
Swayze's a good actor. Like Swayze could do Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Joey Newmar and stuff. And like fucking Seagal can only do play himself, basically, you know,
But, or who he wants himself to be.
Exactly. Yeah. But he plays his one persona, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's kick it over to the break and we'll come back with the big roundup. What do you say, fellas?
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever enjoyed a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs Romaine Rule. Hi, I'm Paco Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. We're going to do the big roundup now where we rate Roadhouse on a 0 to 5 star rating scale. Lucas, what would you rate this and why?
I'm rating Roadhouse 5 motherfucking stars because it is one of my favorite movies. I think it's, y'all might disagree, but I mean, like, how do you watch this movie and not have a good time? And it falls under, it's one of those movies that, like, I hate the people talk about, like, bad movies that are good movies, that kind of thing, where it's like, it's not a good movie, but it's kind of a good movie. Fuck that. If you watch a movie and it entertains you and you have a good time, it's a good movie. And there's bad movies that are bad movies, you know. Like, I never want to watch the last fucking Mike Myers movie or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, The Love Guru.
The Love Guru.
The Love Guru. Well, it's like, that's a bad movie. And it's not fun.
Right.
Yeah.
But if a movie brings you enjoyment and you have a good time, then it's a good movie.
Yes.
And Roadhouse is a good movie to me. 5 stars.
Well, Lucas, I agree with you. I'm going to echo your rating and give it 5 stars as well. Like, not every movie needs to be grounded. You know, this movie achieves what it sets out to do, and then some more. And I've watched it. Every time I watch it, I have a good time, and it's so full of, like, weirdos and stuff. You can watch it over and over and notice new things, follow new little threads in the movie. It's like, it's a lot of fun. I also give it 5 stars. Will, what do you say?
I'm not gonna go that high, but I am gonna go pretty high. This for me is getting a 4.5.
That's high for you, man. That's still high.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
That is very high for me, and it's just, you know, it is all for the same reasons that you all gave it a 5 star. It is. You know, I watched it this morning. This is an R-rated movie that is both violent and full of boobs and stuff that I was like, perfectly okay turning on at 9 a.m. and just kind of watching it. And I was like, yeah, this is a Saturday morning movie.
It's on cable constant. Like, every day it's on cable.
It's like, it was
like
perfect.
Like, AMC shows it, like, every day.
They do. Yeah.
It's like, you know, we talked about it. You know, as soon as the story is starting to get boring, a new element comes in, and then everything is pretty much wrapped up by the very end. There's nothing left hanging. There's nothing, like, extra in this movie, I feel like. It's all, like, it fits together so well, and you have a great time, so you don't even have to think about that shit. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, it's really simple, but very well told and very well performed. So, yeah, 4.5 stars on this one.
High praise for Roadhouse on CRM today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pace and the editing is so tight on it. Like it you said, it's like lean. And even though I think it's the runtime is like 117 minutes, none of them are wasted.
Yeah, it earns its length for sure.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend for people who like Roadhouse, Lucas?
If you like Roadhouse, I mean, this is like a pretty basic thing, but I would say watch the later Fast and Furious movies. I'm a big fan of those, and they're like kind of similar in that they're just like big and dumb. I mean, they're more like action orientated. But also, I mean, as we brought up earlier, Cocktail, I feel like Cocktail takes place in the same universe, and because it's about a guy who, I don't know, is like learned this trade, and then he finds this mentor, and there's that kind of like situation between them. It's not really like action, but I mean, you've probably all seen Cocktail, but I think they're kind of similar movies. And if you haven't seen Cocktail in a while, check it out.
Hell yeah. Will, what do you got?
I want to say if you liked Roadhouse, I'm going to say watch Roadhouse again. That's my recommendation. Watch it twice. I know I watch a lot of movies twice for this podcast, but this is one that I would not mind watching three times in a row. I mean, it's like, it's good.
Yeah. I watch it several times a year.
Yeah.
Like if I'm flipping through cable, through Sling or whatever, and Roadhouse is on, it's just like, well, Roadhouse is on now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm going to say, I mentioned Tom Cruise earlier, like sort of like a lot of his movies, especially recent movies, is like he plays somebody who is just like is smarter than everybody and like better at everything. I think Jack Reacher is maybe my favorite of the newer movies where that is the case. Jack Reacher is straight up like if a Steven Seagal movie had Tom Cruise in it instead of Steven Seagal.
I got to check that out.
It's pretty good. We may end up having to just do it on the podcast. Werner Herzog is like the bad guy in it. He is.
Oh my
God.
Yeah.
And Jack Reacher. It's a good lean action movie that doesn't get enough praise. And it's just like a fun movie where, yeah, a total badass, like basically just like kicks ass through a movie until the end. And it's just like in Roadhouse. And then what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say I think that movie is why like Herzog is in The Mandalorian season one, where like he shows up as kind of a similar character. As like a kind of villain.
Oh yeah, and he's a great villain in Jack Reacher. And then I'll say for 80s movies that have weird tonal shifts about guys who have mentors in weird fields, Repo Man is a fun movie that I also, anytime it's on, it's not on as much as Roadhouse. It's definitely not as have as much mass appeal and stuff. But it's a movie that I enjoy in kind of a similar way to Roadhouse. So anyway.
And director Rowdy Harrington worked on it too. So
he did. Yeah, indeed. He did. Yeah.
Like I love all those Mike Nesmith produced movies from that era, which Repo Man is one of them. Tapeheads is another one about two guys who with a specific job who get roped up into like some weird situation. So I'm going to recommend that one. Say Tapeheads is a real recommendation.
Hell yeah. That's like my girlfriend's favorite movie, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We watched it kind of recently. So
cool.
All right. Plugs.
Well, let's do it. Lucas, what have you got to plug?
Well, I'm a writer. I write for The Lost Ogle, which is a local, it's kind of like a blog in Oklahoma City. We cover, I don't know, just politics, scandals, whatever's going on in town. It's satirical. I write for Edible OKCU, which is a local food magazine. It's a publication, but you can find us online as well. I've got a few irons in the fire, but I can't really talk about those right now. But that's pretty much what I'm up to. You can find me on Twitter at Fernet Bronco.
Hell yeah. Is Free Queso still up? Can people find that?
I mean, it's Free Queso is technically still up, which is a food podcast that I was doing, but it's kind of canceled. But I may have a new one coming. So,
oh, very good.
Just keep up with me on Twitter at Fernet Bronco and you'll know.
Hell yeah. Will, what do you have to plug?
Same stuff I do every week. Nerd Rage the Great Debates. It's a comedy debate show coming out every Monday, wherever you find podcasts. It's a lot of fun. I'm recording 3 episodes the day after we record this episode, so I don't even know what's coming up yet. Who knows? They do let me choose a debate every once in a while, or a format, and I tend to make it pretty creative, and I think I got one coming up in a upcoming session, so stay tuned for one of my weird-ass episodes. SepTalk, if you like documentaries, that's the show for documentary talk with George and Paco that I've been working on for about 6 years now. Holy shit. And then Talkies every first and third Friday on Twitch, although by the time this comes out, we might have gone to once a month and on a different day. So Talkies show on Twitch where you can find the show and then watch, I think, the past... the most recent show that we've done is archived there for 2 weeks. So you can maybe go check out an episode there that we did. But that's coming from a live show we used to do and then made it onto Twitch and it ended up working out. So it's not your standard Zoom comedy show. It fits well within the format of Twitch. So check it out.
Hell yeah. I got Chat Pile going on. Check us out. We're a band. And then, of course, this podcast, Cathode Ray Mission, thank you for listening to us. Go ahead and review us or whatever, you know. If you want to, that'd be cool. We have fun doing this podcast. And I promise you, the listener, that we will put on tuxedos soon and do some classy foreign films, you know, something... Not Voyage of the Rock Aliens. We're going to do something a little bit different coming up before we get back into this kind of stuff. We've just been leaning a little bit too hard into insane esoterica lately. But anyway.
And
I'm sorry to have drawn you into Roadhouse.
Well, Roadhouse is perfect.
It's a movie that I just... Yeah. It's like if there's one movie that I want to fucking talk about, it is... This was the one.
I hear you.
Like we had to do this.
Lucas, last week we did Mortal Kombat, and then next week we're doing Voyage of the Rock Aliens. So I know we're talking about that movie a lot, and it's not coming out until next week, but we recorded it before this episode, so we've talked about it a lot. Next week, if you're interested in that talk, we go into Voyage of the Rock Aliens next week.
I know nothing about that movie, but I'm... Because of how much y'all have talked about it, I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
You definitely have to, yeah.
You're gonna be playing chicken with it, man. I don't know how far you'll get through it. It's
you should get all the way through. It's not that long, but technically.
It feels long. I don't know.
But yeah, you go through stages in that movie of like how you feel about it.
Not like Roadhouse.
We'll talk about that next week.
Indeed. Nope. All right.
Since beginning we're wrapping up. Good. I'm going to crack a beer.
Wonderful. Of course, you know, I have my LaCroix that I drink whenever we do these.
Yeah, I've drank 2 polar blueberry lemonades during these episodes.
Is that a LaCroix or is that a...
Polar is its own, a different brand.
Is that a seltzer?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Sparkling.
Where do you find that?
I got it at Crest.
Oh, okay.
Which is a local store, but I think I've been seeing it at like Walmart maybe, or I saw it somewhere.
There's no Walmart by me.
Maybe at Winco or something. Who knows?
I'm not going 15 miles away to go to Walmart.
Well, get on the old internet and look up where you can find Polar, Big Will, because it's...
I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll have it delivered. All right, man.
Anyway.
Andy, it's been a good one. Lucas, thank you for bringing this. Thank you for allowing me to watch this again. It was a perfect way to cap off a recording session.
Been talking about
thanks for having me on. This was
a long
fun.
Time. Yeah, glad to have you on, Lucas. All right.
Love you all.
Love you too, Randy. Bro.
Till next week, I'll see you later.
Until next week, Will. Until we voyage with the rock aliens. See you then.
Later.
All right.